Okay, well, tell me about, if you can, your first day at school.
Not got a clue.
You don't remember that?
No.
You must remember something. Being dressed up in a uniform.
I don't have that many memories from kind of before I was maybe 8 or 9. I mean, there's certain things that will stick out, but certain things that you look back on and see as being significant, like your first day at school, aren't significant at the time, really.
Mm.
That if you've kind of been through nursery, it's just more
yeah.
going off and seeing a lot of the same people you'd seen at nursery.
In a different uniform.
Pretty much. So I genuinely have no idea about my first day at school. Kind of earliest memory, or earliest couple of memories, would have to be the first one, is from when I was 2, being in front of the TV and seeing the Thriller video by Michael Jackson.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've always kind of been quite musical. So for something that was so musically intense and had all the elements, kind of the dancing going on as well, that was kind of staggering for a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
And even now, in my opinion, it leads the way in music videos and is the best music video of all time. And kind of partially due to the elements of the dark side, as it were, kind of for 2-year-old, that's fairly exciting. So that's certainly one of them. Another is just kind of a general picture of being in nursery that I can't really put faces to the picture, I guess. But I just have elements of knowing that I can remember being there. And I can remember the fact that it was a pair of twins. Can't remember who they were at all, but I know they were there, and there was a slide and things like that.
Yeah.
It's all kind of fairly there's certain aspects of it where it is fairly clear, the picture, but then other bits which just kind of blur into the background. It's kind of a photograph where you focused in on one point and all the others get fuzzed out a bit.
I remember whacking my thumb with a hammer at nursery.
Oh.
That's really sore. I don't remember much else. Somebody had the same dress as me, but that's quite all.
And one thing I remember from was either primary 1 or primary 2, because both of them were down at the same wee school. Mm-hmm. Was getting stung in the eye. Or kind of on the eyelid. By either a bee or a wasp, which was a touch frightening. Gonna get carted off down to the doctor's, which was quite close, and ice pack, and that's pretty much it. Not what you want as a 6 or 7-year-old. Also, there was really tight corner.
Mm-hmm.
That was just so inevitable that. Kids, because it was in the playground, kids are just going to go running into each other as 2 kids go running from either side, and it's a blind corner, kind of splodge straight into each other, and they never did anything about it, like put up a mirror so you could actually see if somebody was coming.
Yeah.
I don't think I did. I think I generally took a more leisurely. Yeah, could see it happening way off. Yeah. That was pretty much all I can remember from first 6 or 7 years of my life.
There must be things, objects that stick out though. I don't know, like certain type of sweets that you had or toys, I guess. Or
not really.
No?
No, I mean, I think I'm aware of some things that have been mentioned as stories, but
uh-huh.
I have no true recollection of them, in the same way that, or it's very much a third party, a third person memory, that it's one that's like a Christmas present I can remember, or supposedly remember kind of the magic teapot or something. I remember what one was like, but I don't remember mine, even though it's a standard thing. It's kind of, but I've heard all the stories about me getting it and all that, but I simply don't really remember something like that. I can, don't know why.
Do you remember Caroline and Kenneth when you were really little?
Not until I was kind of older. Maybe I was adopted. But yeah, all the memories start kind of from later on, which is, I don't know why. Most people have more memories from very early on, but yeah, maybe it is more superimposed, whereas I've had kind of, or I'll tend to think about these things and have realised that a lot of them are superimposed and so can scrub them from my memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Kind of far more useful stuff to be learnt. I can barely even remember when I was in primary three, when I was up at the big school, as it was, and a few memories, like my last day at the school, because I then went off to fee-paying school, and I remember handing out Smarties to everyone, kind of the Smarty bar kid, and also remember kind of finding school so easy that it kind of frustrated me quite a lot, that we're still doing basic reading, kind of Biff, Chip and Kipper, with kind of four words per page, and it was basically far too easy, and I was already reading kind of novels and stuff. So I do remember, even then, I didn't have to work to do well, which I think set me off for bad. Yeah, and I think that did set me up for going wrong on the basis that up until I was 16, I never had to work to be top of the class or thereabout. So if you've never had to do it, then you get out of the way of it. Or never got into it, full stop. So then when hires come along and you should do some work, never quite got around to it. One can say oops, but at the end of the day, I think they're overrated. That here's Kenneth with 3 degrees.
It's what you want to do afterwards. You would go into academia without good degrees.
Yeah. Indeed, but this kind of the qualifications are a means to an end, but I think a lot of ends don't need the means that are deemed needed, that for the job I'm doing, some places were asking for a degree, but why? I don't think there is a need for a degree, but it's just because so many people have a degree, it then becomes a thing that's needed. The stuff I do in my job, I don't need anything learnt from about primary five onwards. Kind of basic adding, multiplying, subtracting, dividing. A bit of English, able to communicate.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's just to prove you can learn. But what does proving I can learn speak French prove to my ability to fix a computer? But it's one of these things that society has deemed necessary, and therefore nobody really goes against the grain.
Don't you think it's valuable though to have a subjects at school to cover a wide range of things so you can see what you do like? Or did you always know what you wanted to do?
I didn't.
The computer line?
I only found out in about senior two. And that was... to an extent, primary seven, because we got our first contact with computers then, and it was a bit of kind of games just to get you into kind of the old Pong and stuff like that, and I was interested then, I think largely because Kenneth and Karen were both older than me. And Kenneth in particular, who would be more likely to play games with me, he was by that stage 17 or 18, and not really up for playing games with me as much, kind of doing his 6 year studies as he was when I was in primary 7. He was kind of working hard, so it was basically I didn't have anyone to play with unless I was in school or actually went to the bother of going out and seeing my mates. So something like a computer game where you can play against some sort of intelligence was way better. And I think that was kind of one of the things that got me into it. And then next thing I'm aware of the computers was probably second year when we used them in technology. I think I may even have gone in break or something, and it was just kind of hanging about with other people who were using them, and I started using things like Paint and just mucking about, and then we got one ourselves, and I found I could use it better than other people, which was through no real reason. I didn't try harder, but it was just something that I followed computers' logic. I think you either do or you don't. I don't think it's something you really learn. You can try hard, but I think I will naturally be better than anybody who isn't a natural, regardless of how hard they try. And that's not particularly being arrogant, I would say, although it might come across as being arrogant. But I think it's just, I do believe in kind of nature dictating over nurture. There's still a combination of both, but nature will always be strongest. I won't ever be the world's strongest man because I'm a bit of a skinny git, but you know, I just kind of, computers come naturally. And whereas Dad would try for ages to do something and be all proud of it, kind of I'd do it in a couple of minutes and not really think much of it, but who knows.
Okay. We go right back to your very earliest memory, to the Michael Jackson video. Do you think that prompted your interest, subsequent interest in music, or do you think that sort of confirmed?
I think it confirmed, because according to Dad anyway, even when I was kind of still in cot, when he was playing music, I would bounce about in time, to the point that he's never seen anybody else move in the same way at that kind of age.
To radio or to the piano? Or
both. Which I think again shows nature over nurture, because there's no way that is a top response at that age. Because Kenneth and Karen both had the same kind of music going on in the background and didn't react in quite the same way. They're both musical, but I think music has played a far more important aspect in my life. And it's, I do get lost in music in a way that I don't think Kenneth and Karen do. I think Kenneth kind of could do with a map when he's got listening to music, but I'm truly kind of God knows where I am, and to the point that somebody can walk past me who I know, and I just won't realise, and that has happened before, and they've been saying hello to me, and I've just walked straight past them, which is rather embarrassing when you see them the next day. So I think it has played an important part, and it was around before I saw it, but that's what interested me in the video, was it was something that was very intelligently done. It was it's a great tune, and it's pretty much faultless. Everything about it is so well produced and fits in together. It is seamless.
At what point did you start to, well, and presumably you're not suggesting that at two you were able to discriminate and realise that that was faultless. At what point did you start to, well, preferences, I suppose?
I think I probably had preferences even then, that I'm assuming that I'd seen other music on the TV and hadn't reacted in the same way, that hadn't made such an impact. And obviously kind of the classical stuff I was being played by record, by dad playing, was coming across, and I was reacting positively to that. But the other kind of the more pop side element of it, I hadn't reacted, or I'm not aware of reacting to, maybe I was, but I'm not aware of it. But then this came on, and even as a 2-year-old, it blew me away. I don't know why, because I don't think as a 2-year-old I was able to determine a well-produced film. But there must be something almost subconscious about it, and I'm worried about saying subconscious because I don't know how much of a subconscious a 2-year-old has.
I don't know either.
But I don't know how much of a conscious a 2-year-old has either.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard to work out what was going on in my mind, particularly as it's such a like one-off memory that that I can look back and see that I was seeing the video, but I can't look back and see what I was thinking about the video in a way, so I can't kind of analyse what was in my mind at the time. I was just remembering, wow, here's this music video that for some reason has me engrossed. Who knows?
So, well, Michael Jackson may have been the first influence. What sort of, I've obviously heard stories of the tapes that you all chose in the car. What kind of path did your musical interest take from there?
Certainly a good few years, it was mainly classically based because kind of the stuff dad was playing, dad was the one who could afford music and had a system to play it on. And I
think that's been an influence.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Without doubt, even now.
A positive influence, I mean.
No, I'm still into classical music, much to the surprise of a lot of people. But I didn't buy my first album until about 92, 93, when I'd been 11 or 12, and that was the best rock album in the world ever. And I think by that stage, my influence was mainly led by Kenneth, because he was very much into the rock side, whereas Dad and Caroline and Mum weren't. So I think he was definitely where I got a lot of the music of my teen years from. That particularly, like, the heavy stuff, because I was annoyed with life. So kind of, it very much fits in and is a typical teenage music, the kind of heavy metal. And I think that's why these bands, even going back to the Sex Pistols, who were kind of very aggressive, and even before then, the Rolling Stones, etc., who were breaking new ground, they by no means that loud or aggressive by today's standards, but for the time they were kind of that generation's voice, and it's kind of changed slightly over the years. It went to Sex Pistols, then kind of heavy metal, and now rap to an extent. So kind of these were, or kind of heavy metal was a large influence because I was angry, and it kind of fits in, and when you're feeling pissed off with the world, and mm-hmm. you've got other people who are feeling pissed off with mm-hmm. the world, you feel there's other people there with you. Mm.
Is it the lyrics or is it the music?
Both. Well, you know, kind of a lot of the lyrics are kind of pretty much we're going to change the world and make it good, and it's an interesting thing that you get, particularly in the 80s, you, and in America, you had all these associations like Mothers Against Metal or whatever, mm-hmm. Who were strongly against heavy metal for its anti-Christian viewpoints. And then you look at the lyrics of the songs, mm-hmm. and like Anthrax had One World, which is basically saying, don't care where you come from, just get along. And you're thinking, hang on, that's an utterly Christian view. And yet these Christians are going out for blood against bands like these.
Who
kind of has the Christian view? The Christian or the one singing the metal? And,
well, probably both, with a lot of ignorance.
I think it's a bastardised Christian view that Christian view should be love everyone. But by going after them, they're losing the Christian view, which I think's a touch ironic, really. And I think they didn't endear themselves by going after them. They just made them seem more the victim, which more appeals to the rebellious teenager. So they're going to go for them even more. So I think that was a singularly bad idea by the Mothers Against Metal and all of the various associations and organisations. I think the intention was vaguely honourable, but they just didn't think that, yes, they want everything to be good, but they don't think about what good is, or public choice, general freedom, mm-hmm. etc. It's kind of moving towards a Big Brother society, which depends on your viewpoint on that, but I'm certainly with Orwell in thinking it wasn't particularly good. But, so kind of, I did have the metal influences, but I didn't pick up all of Kenneth's influences, because he was also into this jazz, which I've never picked up on. But I think what I took from the metal was the need for playing very technically difficult pieces, which also had in common with classical music. Jazz is technical, but I always felt with a lot, or certainly the classical music I liked and the heavy metal, that the music was going somewhere. It's a hard phrase to understand, because, well, where's the music going? But it's just something I feel. Jazz is kind of, it's lots of notes, fairly quick, quite often, but it doesn't really matter.
It is
a mood, but I've also seen too many live jazz musicians who kind of try and feel, or kind of look, oh, we're so harshly done by, and you know they're going back to the kind of nice £600,000 house with all that's good. And I think that's something that's affected metal, that when metal started out, the bands that were there had no money. They were down and out, they were playing to survive. so kind of their aggression, claims against society, held merit. And I think that's where they've fallen down now, that a lot of the bands who've got really big lose that edge because, well, yes, I'm just off back to my 5 million penthouse. Kind of, well, why are you pissed off with society, really, anymore? You're doing quite well. So I think that's kind of lost it. And that's, to an extent, why one of the reasons why I've not been that keen on jazz, because I feel it lacks emotion. That blues is very different. That it's less technically orientated, but there's a lot of feeling in it, mainly, or kind of certainly in its origins, it was Deep South, where the black men only had the blues. That was their life when they weren't slaves, and they were very poor, and they were playing for feeling, and sometimes the most successful ones to make a living, and if they didn't, they didn't have anything else. So kind of there was feeling in there, but I just feel that jazz lacks the feeling. But going back to the kind of classical metal, you kind of, both of them are very technically orientated, and certainly what I found when I went off to university was that a lot of the metal bands borrowed heavily from classical music, which I found very interesting. That particularly kind of first artist that really got me into that was Yngwie Malmsteen, who you'd be listening to a song and then it would just go into Bach or Paganini and sound really good. And I think that's kind of, that aspect has definitely had a profound impact on my choice in music, that I have now kind of separated away from what Kenneth likes, that my likes are pretty much classical things rocked up, or rocky things that are very heavily classically inspired. So kind of, even over the past 6 months, the lead female vocals, which is very much more an operatic thing, as opposed, you get some pop bands that have female vocals, but they've never really crossed over into metal as much, but they do with the kind of classically inspired metal, with violins and all kind of classical instruments going on in the background. And I think that's, it merges my two main music interests together, not with a popular thing, but I like it, so.
I know your other, well, one other big passion perhaps is the motorbike.
Yeah.
Does that fit into the rock and classical kind of ideal?
Well, it kind of stereotypically probably fits into the heavy metal aspect perfectly, but it's not related to that at all. I kind of haven't been a bike nut and still haven't, but it was kind of, I used to cycle a lot, and then was kind of thinking, oh, I suppose I should really do with learning to be able to get myself over distances of more than about 6 miles. I don't like criticism, and I felt if I'm in a car, I'm gonna get criticised a lot. So kind of being on a motorbike, I'm by myself. Nobody's going to criticise me.
So it's passengers and people in the car that are criticised rather than fellow drivers?
Yeah. So kind of,
you're not a fan of fellow drivers, though, are you?
I would say most drivers are fairly pish, but hey, they're safe because they don't break the speed limit. Well, some of them. But that's a whole other story.
Do you feel safer on a motorbike than on an ordinary bike?
Yes. Because you've got the power to get out. Obviously, if you crash, there's a lot more that can go wrong, in the basis that if you're doing 90 and you come off, it's going to be a whole lot worse than doing 20 and coming off, though I've got more safety equipment on when I'm on the motorbike. But crashing hasn't really come into my mind. Oh, kind of. Mum always kind of worries, but
Yeah.
I'm much more what will be. If I'm gonna crash, I'm gonna crash. It kind of life's full of turns and.
It's only normal that she should worry about it more than you. I mean,
Yeah.
she's not in control of it, you are.
Yeah.
You know the amount of control you have.
Yeah, but I think kind of by the nature of, or certainly going by other people, likelihood is in my life of riding motorbikes, I will have a crash. Simply, well, everyone I know who's had a motorbike, other than one who's only got one a week ago, has crashed the bike. So logic would dictate that in all likelihood, I will at some point come off my bike. Which is a bit of a pants wetting situation, but I don't spend any time worrying about it. It's not kind of, it doesn't play on my mind at all.